This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rajvi Subramanian.
We have certainly seen a lot of coverage the past couple of weeks regarding the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And we want to touch on some of that coverage today and touch on matters, too, such as the way media has been treated during some of these protests, larger protests in larger cities. I've certainly seen some video of police getting aggressive with journalists, and that underscores some of the hazards that can come with this occupation. Also makes me wonder why police would be so aggressive towards the media in some places. It makes me wonder what police are planning to do, that they don't want reporters on hand to tell people about what's going on or to record footage of what's going on.
Especially at a time when we're really putting the magnifying glass and taking a close look at law enforcement in general and how they react and treat its citizens, especially people of color. But then, of course, and then, as you just said, how journalists are being treated and what kind of discussions are happening at police stations that has led to this. I think we already have our suspicions about what this administration has done and how they feel about the Fourth Estate. But, you know, we've talked about it on this program about journalists fearing for their lives in the sense of being employed and being valued and having a job. And then we've talked about, of course, journalists fearing for their lives overseas, how international reporting has not been funded and how it's become very dangerous and how journalists turn up missing or worse, dead in the Middle East or in Russia or have you. And now, of course, now we have something here on the home front. It's a domestic issue. And I think it just bears to show the value of this this industry and how some people are willing to do anything, apparently, to conceal the truth. And it's something that we have to think about and talk about with our journalists about their not only their rights, but their safety.
And I should emphasize that while we have seen police acting aggressively towards demonstrators and journalists in larger cities, we're fairly fortunate around here. From what I can tell, demonstrations around here have been rather civil.
Yes.
A couple that I've gone to in Macomb, police have actually, even in uniform, participated in the protest.
Yes.
And held up signs.
Right.
So we've been fortunate here, and so I just want to emphasize it's not all police, but certainly there are enough instances of police acting aggressively towards journalists that it should be a concern, Rajvi.
See, when recently we've been, like, the International Press Watchdog, they've been regularly publishing about the world press ranking, and America has been losing the ranking ever since for the last few years. But in the recent past, arresting media people on live camera, you're getting beaten up by the cops and, you know, targeted by cops. These are something that is, like, really hard to believe, but this is pretty much all on expected lines. This is not something new, because this has been what people who have been observing American press has been warning, how press freedom is degrading in this country, where America is pretty much the land of the free, and people are able to express their views without any repercussions. And this is really unfortunate to see that in this land, we are seeing a media being targeted by the cops and the police, which is really, really, you know, terrible, honestly. I mean, I feel bad because people are not able to pursue their duty because of the fact that people are being repressed to express what the story that they want to say about the community. And again, you know, it is really bad, but it is what it is. And we just have to see how we can navigate, because journalists never give up and they will always tell the story no matter what happens.
And I think we should maybe return to the point Will made earlier, which is some of this attitude is actually coming from the nation's elected leader.
Oh, sure. And those who support him, and which there are still a steady amount of, 40 percentile of people who do support this president, no matter what he's gone through in this administration. And so I think we need to turn our focus onto that and saying, is this justified? Is this something that we should be, letting go? If we're talking about Black Lives Matter, what about journalists' lives for that matter? I don't think that's too far-fetched to be talking about or having a discussion about, really.
Have either of you had an opportunity to participate in a demonstration or cover one, either in the past couple of weeks or in the past? And what have been your experiences?
Not me personally. I've covered them, but in participating in anything, no. I know in the short time when I was helping out at the local newspaper here 2 summers ago, there was, as there occasionally is over at the park, people will protest. And it was, I believe, right after, unfortunately, another school shooting and another shooting of an unarmed black man or teen. There was a protest in the summer of 2018, which I covered as a journalist. But it certainly would be something that I would, of course, stand up for. But I haven't had any recent opportunity to protest myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've covered tons of protests all my life. But I think, in the last couple of months, I've been anchored down. I'm not venturing out because of the situation. But I think this issue demands a lot of attention because, I also think this is my theory. I may be totally wrong. I think this pandemic actually helped push this movement forward because, there have been killings in this country forever, starting from Emmett and you have Rodney King, you have Trayvon Martin, we have the countless number of people have lost their lives. But what is that about George Floyd that actually completely, gave a large momentum for this entire movement? I think it's because of the pandemic, because people are restless. I think, we are actually, we are actually losing our mind, actually, sitting in home. And this is an issue that actually fueled the long, pent-up feelings among people. And I think that's what erupted in the last few weeks after this whole thing started. So that's my theory. But again, the point is, people have been quietly or silently observing and watching, and they could not tolerate this anymore. I think that's what I think proved to be the tipping point where people man, enough is enough. I think we got to put an end to this. But you know what? This is going to continue because the system itself is set like that. So I think, all this protest and all that, I think whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, this is going to be here for a while, just like this coronavirus, man. We just need to find a way in terms of a long-term solution to solve this. But, of course, media, everybody have their own agenda. There are some media where they're focusing on the protests, and there are some media where they're focusing on the looting. So, again, it depends upon who owns the media and what kind of, agenda they have in the mind. That's what matters at the end of the day.
We should note that the video of George Floyd being killed was taken by a bystander, and police tried to chase that person off a few times, and they kept a recording, and that's important. And I think as far as why this may have set people off, it may be just in part just the casual way this killing was done.
Absolutely, and I think it's really evident that with social media, how this has really helped garner support and also shown the light on really what's happening. We've talked about the detriments of social media for journalism, but obviously there's the policing of public policing of police officers and what's been happening. And if it's the will of the people, which is what this country was founded on, it's the responsibility of the journalists to expose and to show and to reveal what's actually happening in our communities. And if there's injustices to be reported, they need to be revealed as well.
Another important point I really want to add at this moment is because all this video evidence is actually proving to be crucial in terms of moving it forward. Take, for instance, Ahmaud Arbery. He was killed 3 months prior, but only after the video leaked, then they made the arrest. Again, all these things has been happening for like ever, but then when people document this through video, that is actually creating a kind of CNN effect, which is actually propelling all the other missionaries to take action, which is really unfortunate because the law is supposed to be equal for everyone, but just one video evidence showing how people are being treated, that completely changes the picture altogether. Again, that's what journalists and citizen journalists matters a lot at a time like this, where we have to document everything because we need to show the world and tell the world what's happening.
Hey, we are going to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.